Well, good afternoon and welcome. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And today's a really special day for us because today is our 12th birthday here at Hoboken Grace. I remember moving here 12, 13 years ago, and you would meet someone who had been in Hoboken for 5 years, and it was shocking, let alone 12 years. It's unbelievable. But here's the thing. God had a plan. God had a plan because, you see, God knew that you would be here. God knew about that breakup that you were going to go through, and that you'd be looking for answers. He knew about what was going to happen with that job, and you'd be asking the question of purpose. He knew you were going to come to that point where you said, "Is this really all that there is?" And you see, from the very beginning, he wanted for you to be able to find your way back to him. He wanted for you, in that moment and in that situation, to be able to find a place that you could call home. He had a plan. He had a plan because he knew. He knew about you. And he wanted for you to know about him. And so 12 years ago, he stepped into Anna and I's life, Steve and Alexis's life, Tracy and Grant's life. And he said, "Hoboken, I want for you to leave what you know. I want you to leave your home, and I want to take you to this place called Hoboken." Because you see, he had a plan. He knew about you. And the last 12 years have been insane, what God's done and all the ways that God's worked as that small group of five exploded to what is now literally thousands of people who are pursuing him and wrestling through, how do we follow God inside of our city? How do we communicate the truth of his love to those around us? It's unbelievable what's happened. But as we come together today, I don't want to spend a lot of time looking back. If you were part of Vision Night with us last month, you can actually watch that online if you missed it. But if you were there, we walked through a lot of what's happened. But I don't want to spend a lot of time looking back because, you see, the thing is, I think that God has a lot more in store for us as we move into the future. And I don't just think that God had a plan. I think that God has a plan. And I don't just think that God had a plan because he knew about you. I think that God has a plan because there's others that he knows about that we don't yet know about. And I think that he's planned for you to be part of that plan. He's planned for you to be part of the plan of how he's going to make sure that they know him, that they know his love, that they're able to find home in those situations and circumstances that are confusing and they feel lost. He has a plan. And he's planned for you to be part of that plan. We talked this fall about how none of us are here on purpose. Not just generally. None of us are here on accident. All of us, every one of us, are here on purpose for a purpose. Every one of us. Because you see, he's planned for you to be part of this plan. Which is why, as we come together today, we're launching what we're calling the Home Initiative. And we're launching into a conversation or a series called Home, because we believe that God isn't even close to done with what he wants to do in and through our family. Now, to help us understand how God steps into our life and what it looks like when God's calling us into something like that, what I want to do is, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to walk through the life of an individual named Abraham. Now, when we pick up his story, his name is actually Abram. Throughout the story, God changes his name. In a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the significance of that and why that happens and what God was doing there. But I want to let you know from the very beginning that Abram and Abraham are the same person, because I know I'm going to get the name wrong at different sections in the story. I know it. I know it from the beginning. I just ask you to have grace and mercy with me, because it's going to be wrong. When I do that, understand it's the same person. But in order for us to understand how God calls us into these things, in order for us to understand what I believe God wants to do in our lives, I want for us to walk through his story. Now, for some of you, this may be the first time that you're hearing of this individual named Abraham. It doesn't matter what you believe or what your background is. This is an incredibly significant historical figure in every one of our lives. Did you know that there are three major world religions that call Abraham the father of their faith? Over half of the world's population. Over half of the world's population. That's how significant he is. That's how much his story changed the world. And it didn't just change it for a moment. It changed it forever. Think Sandlot. Forever. Some of you got that. Some of you didn't, because you haven't watched Sandlot, which is a tragedy. Your homework coming out of today is to go watch The Sandlot. I'm telling you, it's a must. It's crucial. But it didn't just change it for a moment. It changed it forever. And it all started with the moment that God stepped into Abraham's life and called him into something new. Now, before we look at this passage where God is calling Abram out, I just want to share with you a little bit of the context, because it's important for you to know that this takes place in the midst of an incredibly dark time. As a matter of fact, the chapter before this, in Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel and the point at which mankind has really just rejected God, wants nothing to do with them, is worshiping idols, worshiping themselves in just about every way possible. And it looks like once again, we're coming to the point where there's no one who's following him. There's no one that's pursuing him. And it's into this darkness and into this dark moment that God speaks. And just as an aside, really quickly, I want for those of you who are here today that maybe you're here in a dark moment, I just want to point this out, because this happens over and over in Scripture. Listen to me, because some of you right now, you're in the midst of a dark moment and you don't feel like that there's going to be any end to it. You don't feel like God's going to be able to do anything about it. Listen to me, over and over and over again, it's into those moments that God speaks. And don't you believe for one second that the moment is too dark for him. There had to have been many in this moment that thought the moment was too dark. But there is never a moment that's too dark for him. And into the darkness, God steps into Abraham's life and he calls him to something new. Listen to what it says, Genesis chapter 12. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all of the families on earth will be blessed through you.'" In the midst of this darkness, God steps into Abram's life, and he says, "Listen, Abram, I want to do something incredibly powerful through you. I have a plan. I have a plan, and I've planned you into that plan. And so here's the thing. I want to invite you to follow me. I want to invite you to leave behind everything that you've previously known. The home that you've previously known, and I want to take you to a new home, because here's the thing. I want to do something through you that's going to change the world." And don't miss as well the difficulty of what God's talking about here. Not just in the fact that he's going to use him to impact the world, but then you also have to understand there are certain things in Abram's life that make this very difficult to believe. Because when God steps into Abram's life to be able to call him into this journey with him, you have to understand at this point, Abram's 75 years old. God steps into his life and says, I'm going to turn your family into a nation. Which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, becomes the Hebrew people. He says, I'm going to turn your family into a nation. But the problem is, not only is Abram 75 years old, but the other thing is that Abram has no children and can have no children. His wife can't have children. Listen to what it says in chapter 11. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. And yet God steps in and says, Abram, I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to do something powerful through you. And you have to think that Abram's sitting there saying, wait. You might have the wrong guy. I don't know if you know how old I am, but I'm not exactly at the age where I deal well with infants. I can't imagine. I decided to stop at the age of 35 because I was getting too old. I can't imagine 75. I can't imagine. But God says, no, I want to do something through you. Which, by the way, for some of you, you're here and you think, well, I'm past the point where God can use me. There's no point where God can no longer use you. There's no point where the story can't begin new. Don't you believe that lie? And God says, I know the circumstances. I know. But I'm going to do something incredible through you. And not only does God say he's going to do something impossible, but the other thing that God does, and this is something that all of us enjoy about God, is that as God comes to Abram with this plan, he gives him no details. And if you've been on this journey with God, you know this is how God works. Because God steps in, he says, this is where we're going. I'm going to take you to this new place. Well, what's the name of the new place? Don't worry about that. We're going to get there. You just come with me. Wait. Where's the map? What is this going to look like? Where's the business plan? How's this going to factor out? And this is something that all of us struggle with, don't we? Every single one of us, as we're on this journey with God, this is one of those things that we really have a hard time with, because when God steps in and says, listen, I want to do this through you, our immediate response is, details, please. Details. Especially for those of us who live in this area, because for many of you, you don't make any decision in your life without at least 8 Excel spreadsheets. At least 8. That's the minimum. That's the minimum. It could be close to 15, 18 right there. And so God steps into our life and says, I want to do this through you. And we say, details, please. Okay, where is it? What's the employment situation going to look like there? Okay, let's start a pros and cons list. Let's do the pros and cons list, God. See if this is really the right decision. And it drives us crazy because God's like, no. Now, well, can you at least tell me where we're going? No. And God, over and over again, he calls us to that which is, as we talked about last week, beyond us. He calls us into the unknown. Because, and this is the part that's crazy. Now, I know for so many of us, we get frustrated by him doing this. But have you ever stopped to think about why it is that he actually does it? Because it's crazy. The reason that he does it is because he wants to be with us and for us to be with him. And he knows if he gives you the spreadsheets, you're just going to start to execute and you're going to do it without him. He knows that about you. And so he's like, no. I don't want you to experience getting there. I want you to experience getting there with me. I want you to experience what it is to take the hand of your father and to be led into and through this journey. Because it's not about what you're going to accomplish on the journey. It's about spending time with your dad.
And so he said, no, just take my hand. Let's go. It's going to be a crazy ride. Let's go. The reality is that most of us probably would have said no. It's interesting, if you look back at chapter 11, you actually see that it looks like, and many scholars believe, that it's possible that Abram's dad had actually done that. Listen to what it says in chapter 11. It says, one day Terah, who's Abram's father, took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from the Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed to the land of Canaan, which is where God eventually takes Abram. But they stopped at Haran and settled there. It's interesting, because when you look at the story, it looks as if Abram wasn't actually the first one to be called into this journey. But rather than continuing to follow, he stopped. And so rather than experiencing what Abraham experienced, rather than experiencing God literally changing the world through him, this is the end of his story. And the reality is that for most of us, I think if we were in Abram's shoes, for a lot of us, we would say no. But Abram instead follows. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abraham decides to go. God had a plan. And so he invited Abram to leave his home and step into the unknown. Because, again, listen. Because God knew about you. Don't miss this. God knew about you. And God cared about you. And God wanted you. And God wanted for you to be part of his family. And so he steps into Abram's life and says, I'm going to take you on this journey. It's going to be unbelievable. He had a plan, and he steps in and invites him into this because he had a plan for you. You see, at the end of that call, as God's stepping into his life, and he says, the whole world is going to be blessed through you. He's talking about the fact that, no, Abram, one of your descendants is going to be Jesus himself. And through you, I'm not just going to bring some people to me. Through you, I am going to bring generations after generations of people into my family. The reality is that God had a plan for you. So he stepped into his life and invited him into the unknown. You see, I think that God is doing the very same thing in your life and my life. I think that God's doing the very same thing inside of our family right now. Not only has God had a plan for you, but there are others that we do not yet know that God has a plan for. And so he's inviting us to step into the unknown. He's inviting us to leave behind the home that we once knew, to be able to experience God doing something through us. That's unbelievable. Some of you are familiar with where we believe God is calling us in the Home Initiative because you're a part of the Vision Nights and what we believe God is calling us to do. But others of you weren't able to be a part of those nights. And so our video team has come together to be able to take all that we talked about in Vision Nights in 40 minutes and crush it down into 8 minutes for you to be able to hear the story, for you to be able to see the powerful thing that we believe that God is leading us into. Check it out.
There are very few words in the English language that carry as much weight as the word home. It speaks to the very cravings of our soul, love, security, belonging, identity. It's why from the very beginning in God's pursuit of us, it's been about finding our home, being rooted in, experiencing home with Him. Even as God steps into Abraham's story, He speaks to him about home, which at first, that home seems to be about somewhere. But by the end of the story, you realize it's actually always been about someone. In the end, yes, Abraham's in a new place, but the reality is Abraham would have been home no matter where he was because he'd found a much more significant home. He'd found his home in God. From the beginning, that's been our mission here at Hoboken Grace, to help people find their way back to find their home in God. But we've sought that not only for ourselves, we've sought that for the community that we've been sent to. Jesus, as he's speaking with his followers, does something really interesting with this picture of home, this picture of a tree rooted in him. He builds on it. Listen to how he does this. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree.'" Again, the picture of a tree. But he builds on it and he says, "And the birds make nests in its branches." He says, not only does our faith allow us to find home, but it creates home for others. The birds make nests in its branches. What a profound picture. And it's a picture, really, of our story. Not only have we found our home in Him, but our experience of His love, our belonging to His family, our identity in Him allows us over and over again to create home for others. And what we've seen God do in our lives and in this city over the past 12 years is unimaginable. We could spend hours sharing the stories of what He's made possible, as what started with a group of five has now exploded into thousands who are pursuing God together. But as we've continued to grow, we've encountered a problem. In many ways, those branches are full. For years, we've sought to expand here in this space as much as humanly possible. We've moved our kids' space from the second to the fourth floor, allowing us to love twice as many kids. We've added screens to make it possible to utilize every inch of our space. We've added services. We've worked to create connection space, but there simply isn't any more room. The branches, in many ways, are full. On our most significant Sundays, we experience the least connection. We can offer group settings with childcare only a few special weeks every year. We're approached over and over about using our space for weddings, using our space for community events. And rather than being able to seize those opportunities, we're forced to decline. We dream of impacting the teens of our community, but again, we find ourselves restricted. In the next 2 years, we have over 50 fourth and fifth graders who will transition out of Grace Kids. How are we gonna love them? We made a commitment to them. They need to know home. Their friends need to be able to find home. The branches need to extend, which is why we believe it's time for Hoboken Grace to further root itself, not only in Him, but also in our community. It's time for us to have a space from which we can love this community, not simply on Sundays, but all week long. 12 years ago, when Anna and I moved to Hoboken, we made a 20-year commitment to this city. We believe God was calling us to impact this place, not temporarily, but significantly. We had no idea the impact that commitment would make. What we learned was that in a place that's so transient, there's something remarkably powerful about something that's rooted. There's something powerful about that which is permanent. It's time for us to further communicate to our city that we're here to stay. We want to establish a tool, a space from which we can impact the community in ways we've only dreamed of. We want this to be the primary place where community events happen. We want to see school graduations in this space. We want to see weddings and receptions in our space. We want to see Chamber of Commerce meetings. We want to see birthday parties. We want to celebrate our community service providers. When someone shows up on a Sunday morning, we want for them to know where the restrooms are, not because of our signage, but because they've been there for a concert or a leadership development seminar. They know the space. It's not just our space, it's their space. We aren't pursuing a church building. We're pursuing a community center in which we gather. The church, after all, has never been and never will be a building. This journey, however, just as Abraham's journey was, will not simply be about somewhere. It will be about someone. In order to create home for more, we have to further establish our home in Him, which is why our primary goal on this journey is 100% engagement. We want to sink our roots down into Him. We want to make certain that He is the priority, the center, the focus of our lives. We want to experience our home in Him like never before. We don't just want a few of us to do this. We want all of us, every one of us, to live this. Before God does something through us, He always seeks to do something in us. We want to invite Him to do just that. As we sink our roots further into His love, we also want to expand the branches. It's our goal over the course of the next 2 years to expand our generosity from our current level of $6 million to $12 million. This will allow us to continue impacting our city as we have been, because $6 million of our goal will go towards our ongoing impact. This is our current giving. $5 million of our goal will go toward the establishment of the center. And $1 million of our goal will go specifically toward community and global impact, taking our impact now to a whole new level. We aren't going to love better in the future. We're going to love better now. I want to invite you into this journey with us. But the journey doesn't begin with our giving. It begins with our heart. It begins with prayerfully asking God to take us to a whole new level of relationship with Him. It begins with strengthening our faith so that the branches can extend. It begins with remembering the one who made it possible for us to know home, the one who led us home. May our roots grow down into Him like never before. May we find our home in Him, and as a result, may our community find the home they've always longed for. In the arms of the one who loves them most.
Did you celebrate that with me? As we walk through this, we have something special that we have prepared for you. As a matter of fact, under your chair right now is a study guide that's going to allow you to be able to walk through this with us. Inside that study guide, you're going to find space for you to be able to take notes on Sundays. We encourage you to bring this back with you every single week as we're walking through this journey together. You're going to see that there's questions for you to be able to walk through inside of your dinner groups as we wrestle through this together. There's information in there about the home initiative and what's driving that. There's information about our primary and our secondary goal to be able to make sure that you're as informed as possible as we engage this together. You see, the reality is that we believe that God is stepping into our lives because He has a plan. And He wants for us to be a part of that plan and calling us into something that is far beyond us. Calling us into something that is not just going to impact those of us who are in this room, but going to impact those that we have never even met, those that we don't even yet know about. But if that's going to happen, just as was true for Abraham, if that's going to happen, it's going to mean that we're going to have to move away from the home that we've known. Now, as I say that, I'm not talking about your physical home. Don't move. That happens enough naturally. We don't need to accelerate that, okay? But what I am talking about is where it is that we find home. And whenever you follow God, with everyone who's ever followed God into something like this, it challenged them about where they found home. And this is going to be exactly the same as we step into this together. It's going to challenge where it is that we find our security. Is our security found in Him, or is it found in our savings? Is it found in Him, or is it found in our stuff? Where is it that we find our identity? Is it found in Him, or is it found in how we present ourselves to the world around us? Where is it that we find our love? Where is it that we find belonging? Where is it that we find those cravings of our heart that speak to that home so powerfully captures? It's going to challenge that. And as God steps into our life and he calls us into this story, into this plan with Him, it's going to challenge where it is that we actually find home, what it is that we're actually rooted in. You see, God wants for us to be fully and completely rooted in Him. Listen to what it says in Colossians. It says, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So I want for you to be rooted in Me. I want you to find home in Me. I want for your life to be built on Me. But here's the thing. Listen. This struck me so powerfully as I was preparing for this conversation. Because we don't typically think about it this way when God says, I want for you to be rooted in Me. But listen, in order for you to be rooted in something new, you must first be uprooted from where you are. Listen. In order for you to be rooted in something new, to be fully rooted in what God has for you, you must first be uprooted from where you are. God said to Abraham, I want for you to be rooted in something new. And so I want for you to leave behind where you found home before. And I believe that God, as He steps into our lives today, as He's stepping into our story, He's calling us to the very same thing. He's saying, I want for you to be fully rooted in Me. But that means that you're going to have to be willing to be uprooted from those temporary places and situations and circumstances in which you're currently finding home. I want for you to leave behind where it is that you've previously found home. Because I want for you to know home like you've never known it before. And I want to do through you something that you can only begin to imagine. And I know some of you are here and you're saying, Chris, wait, you want for me to leave behind where it is that I found home? Absolutely, because here's the thing. Listen. If you get nothing else out of this conversation as we're walking through this together, listen, I want for you to experience and to know what I've experienced and known for the last 12 years. I want you to know what Abraham found out. I want for you to know what Moses found out after him. I want for you to know what David found out. I want for you to know what I could go around this auditorium and ask Justin to stand, or ask Nick to stand, or ask these different people who've been a part of this journey with us, Rachel to stand, who've been a part of this journey with us for the past several years, many years now, and they would tell you the very same thing as they would speak into your life. They would say, listen, leave it behind, because what God has for you is so much better than what you currently have now. For so many of us, we read the stories in the scripture and we think to ourselves, man, I wish I could live that story. I wish my life would be able to scream through the generations that way, be able to impact people like that. Listen to me. It always begins with God stepping in and saying, I want to take you to a new home. I want for you to give up where it is that you found home before, and I want for you to step into this entirely with Me, all in with Me, to allow your roots to sink down, not to sink down partially over here, but entirely into Me.
I want for you to know what it is to be a part of God using you in that way. And I believe that as we come together today, that God is inviting you into that. That he wants that for you. Which is why my invitation to you today is simple. As we start this journey, my invitation to you is simple. Will you invite God to uproot you? Listen, will you invite God to step into your life and uproot you? Maybe for the first time in your life, invite him into. Maybe for others, you've invited him into it, but you need to invite him into that again, fresh. This has been so incredibly powerful and encouraging to me, because as we've walked into this series, I've realized, no, I need to invite God into that into my life again. And one of my greatest experiences of God was at the beginning of planting Hoboken Grace, because I invited God in to uproot me completely. Will you invite God to uproot you? To uproot all of the places that you're not finding your home in him, to make sure that you're rooted in one thing and one thing alone. For you to be able to experience what Abraham did, what Moses did, what David did, what Peter did, what John did. All of those who've come before us. For you to be able to experience what it's like to go all in on him being your home, to go all in on how he would use you to be part of his plan to change the world forever. As the band comes up and as we walk through this last song, I want to invite you to go before God. He's stepping into your life. He's calling you into the unknown to go before him and to invite him. God, I want for you to uproot me. I want to be rooted in nothing else but you. And I want to experience how you plan for me to be a part of this plan. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at this story of Abram and how you literally call him away from home in order to find his home in you, to discover how you want to powerfully use him as part of your plan. Father, I pray that it would excite us. I pray that it would excite us about what's ahead. I pray that it would excite us about what you're doing in our life. I pray that it would excite us that this isn't just a story for others to live who've come before us, but this is something that we get to experience with you, that we get to step into with you. And so, Father, we invite you today, come and uproot us. Uproot us. Uproot all of those places where we're finding our security, our identity, our belonging, our love, where all these places where we're finding home outside of you. Because what we want most is you. What we want most is to find our home in you and to be used by you to create home for as many as possible. In Jesus' name.